Well, thanks for tuning in to the Moms Are Not All Right podcast. If you're new here, I'm a mom that is just trying to talk about experiences I have that might feel weird to talk about sometimes, and I wish other people would talk about them so I can feel less weird. I polled my Facebook friends to see what topic listeners were most interested in, and friendship won by a landslide at 60-something percent. I then asked a couple questions to see what people thought and were feeling about friendships, and I had a couple comments, which thank you guys so much for commenting publicly and sharing. I know for a fact other people read them and probably got something out of it, even if you don't really see that reaction yourself. But the thing that shocked me was I got a bunch of messages that all started with, I feel embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to admit. I felt too embarrassed to post publicly. So I had the idea from the poll. This topic was a little bit of a struggle, but I didn't realize before posting those questions how big of a pain point this is for people. And realizing that made me sort of rethink how to write this episode. Before I begin, I made a Create Your Mom Tribe challenge to hopefully encourage or inspire you to get out there and start building your own tribe, or maybe, this is the sign to work on resurrecting an existing one. You can find that little graphic on my Facebook or my Instagram at The Moms Are Not All Right. Why I even thought to talk about friendships in the first place was because I almost wanted to make like a public acknowledgement to my friends that I know that I am not always a great friend, and just kind of like asking for acceptance because I really am not in a place to be a good friend right now while being in charge of other humans' like well-being. But I want to still be friends, and I want to have friends when I am moving out of parenting and can put time and energy into those relationships again. I kind of wanted to let people know, like, it's not you, it's me type thing, because a majority of my show's listeners are my friends, so it felt like a good place to do that. Also, shout out to my friends for always listening. You're the best. So for the breakdown on this episode, first I'll share a bit about my friendship journey in hopes it resonates with some. I'll give you an example of why we need friendships as human beings. I'll list out some ideas and things listeners said that might be holding them back from making friendships. And then I'll list some ideas on how to make the first steps to meeting other moms. So I had a baby when I was 21. I felt a little out of place during that time. I didn't exactly fit in with young 21-year-olds because I had a child. I couldn't really travel, couldn't really, like, do things in the day unless it was somewhere a toddler could also go. But then I also really didn't fit in with moms at school or swim class because I was a decade younger than everyone. And now that doesn't seem like it matters. Like, a 34-year-old and a 44-year-old don't feel far apart to me. But a 24-year-old and a 34-year-old felt far apart to me at that time. I still would go out with friends after work. I worked at night, so it was easy enough for me to do that. And then I lived with my parents, so my son would be home sleeping, and I always had someone like home with him, which was amazing. And I also had every other weekend off, like starting when he was like 5. So I had more freedom than I do now as like a mom living with her husband. I was very fortunate that my friends kind of stayed friends with me. I mean, there were changes. I didn't see them as often, but they would like go to the beach with me and my little guy. We would all like pile in my car, go get coffee, and then go to the park and drive around and stuff. I feel fortunate about that. Some of those friends, although not all of them, I'm still close with today, and they were like in my wedding and stuff. Like, I have a core friendship group that I think I will be friends with for the rest of my life. I mean, who really knows? We've made it this far. If our 20s weren't enough to, like, break us up, then I don't know what else could, really. And some of those are my siblings. I feel like I need to mention that because I weirdly feel like I'm cheating if I don't. Like, some of those people are forced to be in my life. So when I was younger, I didn't really actively look for mom friends. I don't know. I almost felt like intimidated, or I would be judged as like this single mom living with her parents. I'm struggling to find good words to describe this feeling, but I always have it. Like, I feel almost less parenty than other parents sometimes. Like, if I go to a parade, just thinking of that because we have one coming up, we just like go and sit on the ground and that's it. Like, I don't bring anything. If I go to the lake at the end of my street, we just like walk there, and if the kids want to go swimming and they're in their clothes, they do. Like, we don't have nice enough clothes to care about what happens to them, and this is kind of by design. And they will have to deal with walking back wet. If they don't like it, they might reconsider it next time, you know? Those natural consequences will get them before I do. And I don't know, I still feel this way now. Like, momming for a decade, you know, with two kids, and I actually felt it a little bit this weekend. We were out to eat and my son was under the dining room table, like playing with his cousin. And I didn't care. They were getting along, which is a rarity. They're contained, quiet, like all good things that you would hope a toddler is being while out to eat. But they were playing under the table. And I didn't care. I let them be. But then my mom was sitting with us and she was getting like very flustered by it. And then there was a mutual friend whose little boy joined them. And then I started getting worried, like, oh no, is my kid setting a bad example? I don't want to add extra parenting to this mom and cause her to have a bad time. I think I like looked over at one point and I was like, he's fine if you're fine. Like, I let mine under there. But I always overthink and worry in those ways. I feel like that's where I feel a bit of friction when it comes to parenting and other mom friends for me. I felt that way like my whole life, but I don't know. There's just like a lot of formalities that I just don't care about. I feel like my 9-to-5 hindered making mom friends when I was younger. I remember being a new mom and going back to work and feeling like there really wasn't a lot of options for me for playgroups and library story times and stuff, because they'd all be on like Tuesday and Thursday from like 10 to 11 when I'm at work and my son was at preschool or daycare. So, you know, I'd also have to like work late sometimes and that would affect plans. Even now, I have met moms who work night, like they're nurses and stuff, but we haven't really aligned, like our schedules haven't aligned yet, so we haven't been able to hang out, but it is what it is, you know. I did go on some play dates, though, like with my oldest son. We would go to birthday parties, and he had two friends that we would meet for bowling and like have over our house and stuff. But people move away, the kids grow apart, they're into different activities. Cohen had a friend who likes sports, and Cohen was like into video games, things like that. My youngest is around his cousins often. I'm grateful that I have my sisters to experience parenting and these weird playdates with this time around. It makes it easier and less weird. But it isn't a fairy tale of like the kids being besties, although it is heading in that direction. But the kids are, you know, they're fighting the whole time and need like constant coaching. It's like their primal instincts of territory and jealousy go from 2 to 10 in playdates, it seems like to me. I didn't research that, but sometimes it feels like more work than it's worth, like in those tough moments. And I always feel like I always leave playdates feeling like, I hope that wasn't too weird. I hope they're going to want to hang out again. I get these like I just like start overthinking and get nervous for some reason. It was especially awkward for me when the kids like are too young to talk and most times like don't even interact with each other. They play on opposite sides of the room or the playground. So it's even more strange if you're having a play date with someone you just met. Like, you don't even have your kids as, like, this buffer. You just have to, like, it's just you and them. But play dates are getting a little less weird now. My youngest is at an age where he talks, and he's starting to play with friends now, which is good. Even though we still have to split up sometimes, or there still is friction because one kid will want to play with one thing, the other wants to play another thing, but it's definitely getting better. My 12-year-old's playdates have gotten trickier too, because I'd always just invite all his friends over. He had a little group, and I never wanted to invite some and not all, and I always kind of felt like the more the merrier. And then this last hangout, like, I did notice, like, hangouts started to get a little more emotional and dramatic and complex, so I've had to kind of switch it back to one-on-one hangouts or small groups so it's more manageable for me to make sure everything is going smoothly and that I'm not super overwhelmed and everyone's safe. So maybe it doesn't actually get easier. They're teens now and his group of friends is co-ed, and I don't know, it was just easier for me this way to keep it smaller. I do have mom friends that are not related to me, which I feel really thankful for. I'm friends with my son's best friend's mom. Like, I would definitely hang out with her without the kids if I had time. And we spend a lot of time together at sports and stuff. I look forward to seeing her. She does feel like mom tribe to me. I remember my car died when I went to pick up my oldest from something. It was kind of recently, and I panicked, and I called her, and she grabbed him and brought him home, and it was just, like, a huge relief and turned this, like, catastrophe into a non-issue. And really, until I met her, I didn't think too much about having, like, a local mom friend from school. I was like, I don't really need that, but now that I have that, I never want to be without it, you know? It's nice having another mom who knows your kid's school and knows the kids there and can relate and cares about your kid and helps you if you need it. And Lana, if you're listening to this, I love you and appreciate you so much. Emmett has a new friend whose mom and I think we have the same overall general like life approach. Like, she's more laid back, and our sons have the same energy level, which is nice because that's another point of awkwardness for me. Like, he is very wild, and if your child is timid, it might not be a great match. And how I met this mom was in a very cool way. It's such a great idea that I want to share. They are new to this area, so his mom made, like, business cards and handed them out at school and said, if you want to have a play date, let me know. And I thought that was so awesome. She said she keeps some in her car, too. But one thing she said that resonated with me a lot, and that made me think, okay, I think we are on the same page here. She was telling me about how she had a play date and the kids were like on a mattress, like riding down the stairs, and she was worried the play date's parents would be worried. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds like something I would be thinking and worried about. And that sounds like an amazing play date. Like, if I was that kid, I would never forget about that play date. So I feel inspired to make the cards and give them to the kids on my son's bus because I know these kids live in our little neighborhood. And one day, you know, when he's a little older, he can be, you know, riding bikes with them and stuff around here. So that was a great idea. I've always really tried to encourage and get together with kids and friends. I know it's important for them developmentally to have friends. One study I was reading that really stuck out to me, I think because it was about boys, but when I was looking up the effects of friendship on children, I saw a study by the Association of Psychological Science that tracked 200 boys through adolescence until age of 32. Those who reported having lots of friends in childhood had lower blood pressure and were more likely to be in a healthy weight than those that were less sociable. Something I read in the UK studies was that early childhood friendships provide experiences that are crucial to children's cognitive, emotional, and social development. And friendships can affect children's attitudes and even their performance at school. So these neurobiological models of social buffering suggest that social support can reduce perceptions, reactions, and psychological responses after stress. And this like lasts their whole life, not just like when they're learning and developing. So when your child has close friends, your child feels like they belong. And this also helps your child feel good about themselves. Friendships can help children develop important life skills like getting along with other people, sorting out conflicts. And children with these skills are less likely to have social and emotional difficulties later in life. So, and you know, the confidence part of this isn't just for kids either. Like, friendships will help you cope with hardships, acceptance, and boost your confidence too. And I don't say this to scare anyone. If you're like listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have any playdates with my kids, like they're doomed, like that's not true. It's fine. It's not a life sentence of being like weird and awkward. But I think it's important to note, because if you're like me, sometimes doing things for me is a little harder than doing them for my kid. Like, I feel like if it helps my kid, I'll make more of an effort to try to do something than if it just helps me. So I wanted to say those, positive effects for kids. But, I feel like it's also important to show my kids that I have friends. You know, I'm kind of like, how can I expect them to put themselves out there when I won't? But when I grew up, my mom didn't really have friends. And I honestly had it in my head that when you're an adult, you don't have friends anymore. And I couldn't understand it. So I didn't really have expectations or examples of like long-lasting, healthy relationships. So I was just kind of winging it my whole adolescence. I did have friends here and there, but as a kid, I definitely struggled with it. And I wanted to prevent that from my kids. So that's why I kind of like put so much effort into it. And it might sound like I have my mom friends, I have my long-term friends, I have playdates, I'm wholly satisfied with my friendships, but it's not true. There is a reason I wanted to make this episode, and it's because I have two really big struggles when it comes to maintaining my now friendships. First being time. I hesitate sometimes to reach out to people anymore because there's always something with me or the kids or them. I struggle to get everything done and keep everyone well-rounded in my home. And then I add in this extra relationship and it can make things a little messier or stretch me a little too thin sometimes. My husband's and I relationship is always the one put on the back burner to the kids in the house. So then it's like our family and then friends come in either further behind. There are so many outside forces and factors that need to all work together for me to have an experience with someone else. And it's a lot of work and takes planning and preparation. And sometimes I just don't have the headspace for it. Feels like too much work. And I never know what the week is going to bring. And sometimes if I have a babysitter, depending on the week, I'd rather just hang out with my husband or do something productive that might make the entire following week run smoother. I do feel like I have friends that I can call and talk to and will, still be there when I'm in a more available point in my life. But I only see them in person like a handful of times a year when everyone's schedules and lives align and it works out just right. So this winter, around Christmas time, I realized I had plans every weekend for the next 2 months, with the exception of one weekend. So from Christmas until March, it was like 2 days and 2.5 months that I had free. So I sent a Facebook invite to all my friends and said, if you are also free on this specific day, come hang out. And if you're not free, maybe we can get together in March. And I invited all spouses and kids because I didn't want to hinder anyone from coming. It worked out good. It was fun. But of course, the kids are like fighting in the living room and crying and someone's hurt. But I'm just accepting this is what hanging out is now. Like, it felt really bizarre that this is what it's come to. But it's helped that I have sisters and friends and, you know, they're all at the family parties. So I can see them all more. I have like 5 non-family member friends that I would text to hang out if I had time. I also have people like that I like and care about that just don't live close. So it's a lot of planning to hang out. And I think that's a good number of friends. I mean, I struggle to even keep up with that many. Like, I don't think I could even afford any more than that. I was reading on Science Daily that humans can only maintain 150 relationships at one time, which when I was reading the whole thing, I'm like, that feels like a lot of people. But then I made a list. I like counted out just my husband and I's immediate family, like parents, siblings, nieces and nephews, like our siblings' families. And if you add in our grandparents, that's over 20 people right there. So that 150 number seems a little less crazy to me than when I first read it. So yeah, time and scheduling is a big roadblock for me. The second thing I struggled with or have struggled with, I'm going to quote one of the comments I got on my Facebook post because she worded it so nicely. This was from Jackie. She said, honestly, the fear that they'll need something from me and I won't have time, energy to put another thing on my plate. And this resonated with me so much. I remember times of like forgetting birthdays and people needing things or someone passing away and I like couldn't be there. And it made me feel like a bad person. And I don't want to be that way to anyone else or hurt someone else by being flaky. But I just am sometimes. It's like my brain is a sink and I have things piling in there all day and sometimes it overflows and it's a mess. And I would say to myself, if I can't commit, I'm just not even going to try. Like in my head, I wasn't a good enough friend to make more friends and like I didn't deserve it because I can't really like fully immerse myself in it. Something I get worried about is my friendships with non-mom friends because I don't have my, like, party side anymore with this second baby. I can't show up like people without kids can, and it's definitely harder to hang out with me. You know, I might not be first choice, or if I cancel all the time, kids are sick, they fell asleep, I'm too tired after working, and to then go out to eat with, like, a child. Like, why would they keep inviting me to stuff, you know? I do love my no children friends, though. I like talking about not kid things. It's so weird. I, the mom in my relationship, have mostly childless friends. And my husband, all his friends have kids. And, you know, all the people he works with has kids. So he actually has way more playdates than me. I should have him up here talking about this. And sometimes, you know, I'll invite my friends with no kids to activities because it's the only chance I really have to hang out. And then I'm like not having a good time. I can't even finish a thought without my youngest like screaming my name for attention or the kids just like totally attacking the friend like I arranged for them to come over and see them, not me. And I'm sitting there like, why am I even doing this right now? Something about like my expectations in friendships and my idea of friendships changing from when I was younger. Like when I was younger, I expected to spend a lot of time with friends. Like I somehow equated how much time you spent or saw them to how close or good a friend they are, which is just not really true at all to me anymore. So that was kind of, that's a way like I've learned that over time. And a hard truth I've had to learn too is sometimes I just don't have enough space and I have to cut people from the list of priorities. Like there are so many people that if I saw them, I would like it and I would love to know how they're doing and I wish them all the best, but maybe not enough to prioritize that friendship over everything else I have going on or over the friends that I'm already struggling to keep up with. Or if getting together with someone feels like a chore to maintain, or I feel like I'm obligated to do it, but feeling like friction about it for whatever reason. When things start feeling that way, I kind of just take a break. And I'm that person in that way to other people. I know I don't dislike those people. It's just there is only so much I can handle. It's not a personal attack. And I feel like that's probably how they feel too. Like knowing that someone else is moving away from me isn't necessarily like a personal attack on me. It's just, you know, it is what it is. You can only handle so many friendships. Or sometimes people change and you're just not into it anymore. And that's a good enough reason too. Like I tell my son all the time that he will change and to always be like 100% all in the way he feels and acts as he is in that moment, because he will attract others that are that way in that moment too. And he will have the people he needs in that stage. And it applies so much to me and anyone else as it does to him. And the people that are being attracted will change throughout your life as you change. And it's a good thing. I remind myself of that too. Like some ways that I've changed are just like been all in on how I am feeling. Or it's like kind of like my political feelings or just like oversharing things. Like it can be a little awkward to share those thoughts and feelings, and this may make people not want to be my friend by doing that, but that's good. Like it's kind of on purpose. I want to attract people and detract people, so I'm surrounded by a certain type of person that I believe is good for me, because I do not want friends to just have friends. I need to be intentional with my time. It's very limited, and prioritizing is the name of the game right now. I have no, like, ill will towards people. So, like, I kind of think if that happens to me, it's easier for me to not get sad about that stuff, because it's like, I know it's not this, like, mean thing. It just, like, it is what it is. It's, like, a part of life. One of the main reasons people said they do not seek out mom friends is due to a fear of being judged. I feel that very much. Less so nowadays, but I still feel it. I just happen to ignore those fears and then just like go for it anyway. But it's hard to do that. I'll make like weird sounds waiting in my car, like texting the moms that I'm about to meet for the first time, like a weirdo. I'm like weirdly like growling. I make like a But I really feel like the other mom is probably feeling that way too and just like hoping I'm not a psycho. And unfortunately for her, I am and have no filter, which just gets worse when I'm nervous. So sorry in advance for anyone who goes on a play date with me. I also feel like there is a bit more judginess to moms and women in general. And this is by design of the world we are brought up in. And I don't think it's inherently ingrained in us to be that way. And I don't think all of us are that way. We've just had like bad experiences growing up like that, and we can all change. And I'm not hating the player, I'm hating the game right now. But we have to like shed that part of us that we've been taught subtly over like the entirety of our lives. Like we all have different ways of handling situations, handling boo-boos, not sharing. We have different values and like different levels of how much we're going to discipline. And to me, it feels like there are so many variables to parenting that expecting to find someone who matches up with everything you think and do and feel, it just simply does not exist. And I think that was one thing I learned pretty quick. Like, I don't know if I even know any person who checks all the boxes. I don't think that person exists in friendships, relationships, family, mom, friends. So I have to adjust, because I'll just be sitting here alone waiting for the perfect person to come along, you know? Unless I have a very short, broad list, which my list of requirements at this point has become, you know, it's like, are these people well-meaning? Like, people can do and say rude and mean stuff, but if I don't see them as, you know, a person like malicious or intentionally trying to cause problems, I can brush it off. And mostly because if I mess up, I hope they brush off my shit too. Because things like that will always exist. And when I was younger, I would like drop friends for the most non-serious reasons, but a boy could be so horrible and I would like forgive them. Like, there is no one in my life that I get along with 100% of the time and have always 100% aligned with everything they do and think, and vice versa. Even my sister, who I love, we would fight, and anyone I ever lived with, we would fight, and I fight with my husband all the time, but I don't like dump him, you know, like, but somehow I struggled to bring that same energy to my friendships. You know, my other big check mark is, do I enjoy being around them for 2 hours at a time? Like, are they relatable? Can I connect with them? Can I just like be myself, or am I pretending to be someone else to sort of like match them? I don't know. If I can hang out and talk for a couple hours while our kids play at the park, that's a pretty good sign. And then, like, my final thing, like, check mark is, like, do I feel good on my drive home after seeing them? If yes, then it's a go. You know, we'll do it again if they're into it. And I feel like the initiation or going on a play date might not be the hard part for some people. It could be, like, taking that next step to being real friends with the mom. And it can be an even bigger leap to ask a mom to do something together without the kids, because the rejection might feel more personal. But the more you hang out and the more you hang out without kids, I think the more comfortable you'll become and the better chance you'll have at making like a real mom friend. Much like people have horrible experiences dating, people can also have horrible friend relationships and experiences. Like, people just not being good to you or manipulating you. I feel like everyone can probably think of someone who was not a well-meaning friend. To me, there is a difference in someone like not giving enough effort or not thinking wholly from your perspective versus like actively lying or rooting against you or being mean to you because they are mad or jealous. And this can scar people from making new friendships. Like, how do you know what people's true motives are? And like, how can you trust if you can tell someone a secret that they won't royally screw you over? You know, especially when you've been burned before. Apparently, what I do is tell everyone my secrets on podcasts, and then it can never be used against me. Just throwing that out there as an idea. But unfortunately, I think the only way you can find out is by repeatedly spending time with that person. I wish there was another way. I really do. I want to read this message I got from someone because it's a little unconventional, but it worked out well for this person and hopefully inspires others to join groups or inspires you to be more active on social media in an intentional way. And it, you know, if being in person, like being extroverted or opening up in person or making that first move is a little more difficult for you, I thought this message reply that I got might be helpful. And she writes so nice that I just wanted to share it. So this person wrote, I found an amazing group of friends during the pandemic. It started after the murder of George Floyd when community members in our town gathered to create a racial justice group. Through that group, I got to know quite a few people and saw who had similar interests. It helped to know that we were all starting with the same values around equality and justice. Friendships grew from there. When one of those friends said she wanted to start a podcast group like a book club, we listened to Glennon Doyle's podcast and then met weekly on Zoom to discuss it. Through that pod squad, we formed an incredibly deep and meaningful friendship between six women ranging in age from 36 to 50. I've had a handful of deep friendships in my life, but never this tight of a tribe. In this season of life with young children, job burnout, aging, pandemic, mental health, the support has been invaluable. I finally found a group of women who know the whole genuine me and absolutely love me for it. I attribute these incredible relationships to like-minded foundation of values and getting to the deeper parts of ourselves through the We Can Do Hard Things pod squad. We Can Do Hard Things is my favorite podcast too. Thank you for sharing that with me. I think starting from common ground is probably the best way to set friendships up for success. I have friends and family that I thought we had the same fundamental views of the world, and then, you know, you find out you do not, and it definitely causes some frictions and can make relationships a little more work, you know, so it's a good starting point. And friendships might seem like something that is easier to skip out on, but I encourage you to reconsider shifting it higher on the list of 1,000 priorities parents have, even if just by a little bit, because social connections are important for our health. And I'm not sure if virtual and in-person connections translate the same, but humans are social species like many other types of species, like primates and elephants. Going back very primal here, we thrive and stay safe in groups. We are not meant to be isolated. Like, friends and communities were also resources like food, protection, and shelter. When humans have friends, they are more likely to work out, have overall life satisfaction, and have better mental and physical health. I'm quoting this Dr. John Moore, DO, works for Aetna, medical director and senior health specialist, and he was talking about working with older patients. Patients who were socially engaged tended to have better outcomes despite their complex conditions. They could have diabetes, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, cognitive heart failure, or all three things, and still be doing better because of their improved mental health and their regular social activities and their dedication to taking care of themselves so they could continue those regular social activities. Studies have found socializing can strengthen the immune system. It can help us recover more quickly from illness, lower blood pressure, the risk of heart disease, sharpen memory, and help us even get a better night's sleep. Socializing can also improve our odds of living longer. According to one study, people with strong connections to family and friends have a 50% greater chance of outliving those with fewer social ties. Here's a study that I found fascinating. It didn't really kind of fit in a specific point, but I didn't want to skip it. And it's really old. It's from the 80s, but I felt like it had some value and it was really intriguing to me. And I saw it on the BMJ, and it's from 1986, and it stated that 465 healthy women were enrolled in the study. 249 women would be undergoing labor alone, and 168 women would have supportive female companions throughout labor. The group with the supportive female companion had significantly fewer perinatal complications. For example, they listed one of those as a C-section, and they had fewer infants admitted to neonatal intensive care. I thought that was pretty enlightening to me. So we know that friends are good for us and, in effect, good for our families. So I want to give you some ideas or list some ways to try to make friends. Unfortunately, I wish I had an easier, less awkward suggestion or like a trick to make friends other than you just have to put yourself out there and spend repeated time with people. Like, you have to introduce yourself. You have to exchange info. You have to show up. I know firsthand how awkward and weird it can be, but if you don't naturally or already have mom friends, you'll just have to make some. And trust me when I say I hate this as much as you do. I wish there was a different way. So what can we do? If you're a mom, you're driving to work right now, you're listening to this, you have no friends, you know, other than these work acquaintances you're about to go see. What can you do today when work is over? So number one, I suggest making those playdate cards with your name and number and handing them out to kids like in your child's class, or bring them to the park or library, wherever, you know, you go. And if there's a kid that plays well with yours, give the parent your card. Because to me, this feels way less awkward than asking someone for their number. To me, anyway, it just removes the friction and it leaves the ball in their court, which is nice. So if they're not interested, you won't hear from them. If they are, then, you know, you'll be going on a play date with someone who didn't get serial killer vibes from you, which it feels nice. You know, you might be more inclined to go. Your confidence is a little higher, you know. So I want to thank Kayla for inspiring me with this idea. If you don't have a child in school or daycare, I would suggest posting on your local mom's town page and asking anyone if they want to meet at the park at X time on X day. Give a little info about yourself and your kids so you find, you know, similar age group. And if you do not work a 9-to-5, you know, check your library play groups. Or even if you do, like, libraries might have moved to having them on weekends. They just, like, I didn't really see that when I had little babies. But my sister-in-law, she used to go to those library play groups when she had my niece. And, she's still friends with the same people she met in that group, like, I think my niece is 7 now, or 8, you know, but years later, she's still friends with them. If you do have friends, I suggest texting a friend right now when this episode ends and ask if they want to hang out. Like, who is the first person in your head that pops up when I say this? You know, text them right when this is over. Then think of someone you haven't, you know, you like them, you enjoy spending time with them, but you haven't seen them in a while, you know, maybe send them a text and get that ball rolling again. Hangouts can get overwhelming for me sometimes, so I try to do it like once a month. That's my goal. And it doesn't seem like too much, but I get a little overwhelmed when the time comes. But I think once a month is a good starting point. If you can handle more, do more. Notice your mood and life change after you do that for a while. Or if it's too much, don't do it. But at least you tried, right? To get rid of that guilt, if you have it. I have guilt about everything, so. Get involved in your community is another one. And I can, like, I'm eye-rolling at myself at this. But I really don't have time to do this. I always feel bad when baseball is sending out emails like, the snack bar needs volunteers. And I'm like, I can't do that with my 4-year-old. But just going to sports and, you know, meeting some of the parents there and seeing them all the time is helpful. I volunteered at my son's school dance and I met a couple moms there. And I saw some of the same ones from sports. And then I was attending adult volleyball in town and saw some of those same parents I met at the dance and some of the ones I've met at sports. And like, the more you get out, the more you'll start to make a group. And I don't really do anything outside of, like, my kid. It's all kind of, like, revolving around him. But you'll meet people in that circle. Like, learning, like, people have to kind of meet you where you are in this stage of life. You can't really go out and meet other people, unfortunately. Hopefully this makes you feel a little inspired to get out there and make friends. I hope you can use the contact card idea to make things a little less weird. Just remember to have patience and that there is nothing wrong with you. Everyone is a little weirdo and trying to navigate this world. Everyone is thinking the same things as you. I even sometimes just say it out loud first thing, so get it over with. So I hope this helped, you know, light a little bit of a path. Next week I'll be talking about something, feels a little related, but It's been weighing heavy on my heart lately, and that is middle school and bullying in this like really big transformation year, and what to do about it, because I literally have no idea. Send help, SOS. All the ideas, I need them. Please send them to me. But thank you so much for tuning in again. I'm sorry I'm late today. I had a whole episode planned, and then like last night going to bed, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like I wanted to take stuff out and add stuff, and I was like, I really want to make good, enjoyable episodes. That the quality to me kind of like overpowered the scheduling part to me, which I hate breaking. I want you guys to have me there on your commutes to work every week, and I'm definitely, it's my priority. I'm gonna try to make that happen. It's my goal. But thanks for your patience. Thanks for showing up again and listening. And I'll talk to you next week. All right, bye.